This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Paul Buchanan of Queen of the Apostles Catholic Church of Belmont, North Carolina.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses those of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown in prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid your last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage was unlawful, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you.
One of the common critiques of Christianity in general, and Catholicism in particular, is that our faith talks too much about sin, that we have very little to offer except a set of rules which, if broken, earn you an irreversible course straight down to the netherworld. To be fair, this is not a reputation that is always unearned. Many people inside and outside of the church sometimes tend to make the fear of damnation into the primary motivator behind our religious practices, taking Christ the judge as our primary image of God, often setting aside the rest of the gospel in the process. But if the central message of Christianity is not judgment and condemnation, and of course it isn't, then why do we keep talking about sin? Well, in the first place, because Jesus talks about it a lot. The gospel today, as we spend another week considering the Sermon on the Mount, is full of references and warnings about sin. We can't pretend as Christians that Christ's message is entirely and exclusively about the things we find appealing. To do so is to remake Christ according to our own preconceptions, to make God in our own image, not to accept him as he is. If we want him to accept us as we are, then we owe him the same courtesy. And so we listen to him when he speaks about sin, as well as when he speaks about the Beatitudes or not judging, or any of the passages that we find easier to hear. On a practical level, too, sin often affects us more than we might be ready to realize. So we don't need to talk about it all the time, but every now and then, we need to raise the issue. And with Lent coming up in about a week and a half, it's a good time. A sin is basically a choice to turn away from what we know is right. When we sin, we ignore what our consciences, formed in and by the church, tell us to do or say or avoid doing or saying or thinking. We know there's some compulsion within us, and some call it concupiscence, that sometimes inclines us to do things that we know aren't right, that aren't good for us or our relationship with God and with each other. And a deliberate turning away from God by doing something that's seriously wrong with full knowledge and full consent of our will is called mortal sin, and that wound is healed in the confessional. This is especially true with sins of malice, when we take it upon ourselves to do violence to another in word or in deed, not in self-defense, but simply out of a desire to have for ourselves a power that only God possesses in himself, control over others. But much of the time, I think that the sins that we're usually tempted to commit are due to weakness. I think that most of the time when we sin, we're looking for something, some kind of fulfillment, but we're looking in all the wrong places. We often tend to sin because we are in some way dissatisfied with something in our lives. And sin, whatever specific sin is there, it presents itself as a way to overcome that dissatisfaction. Sometimes we run to fill ourselves up with the pleasures of the world. Sometimes we hide in devotions that don't really help us get closer to the Lord, but can kind of feel like a sort of doing something just so we feel like we're acting. Sometimes we try to bury ourselves under a false persona, all to escape the reality that we feel incomplete, because that makes us vulnerable, and nobody likes to feel vulnerable. But the false promises of satisfaction that sin presents are illusions. What is real is our relationship with God and with one another, those things which are so often damaged by our sins. These are the treasures that are worth striving for. And striving, making a real and sustained effort, is so important, combined with God's grace, in making progress. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. If you trust in God, you shall live, says the book of Sirach. Your choice to follow the commandments, along with your commitment to persevere in that choice, together with God's grace, leads to life. Sometimes keeping the commandments is challenging and requires some sacrifice. The graphic imagery of the gospel, as uncomfortable as it is an exaggeration of that, but the message is clear. Sometimes we have to do difficult things to keep the commandments. Sometimes it takes a long time to get it right. And occasionally the struggle against sin gets to be too much and we find ourselves giving up. And we allow ourselves to get comfortable with sin. We might say to ourselves, oh, I'll never overcome that. And we find that we allow ourselves to get lukewarm or even cold in our relationships with God. It doesn't happen all at once, but it does happen. Don't give up. The only long-lasting solution to sin is deepening your friendship with Jesus. And this is the journey of a lifetime. Think of any other relationship. You don't say, oh, I've done enough in my marriage, in my friendships. They're perfect. I don't have to put forth any effort anymore. You know that's not how it works. It's the same with our relationship with God. It takes constant care. And so we shouldn't expect that relationship to be any different. Friendships are nurtured through spending time with a friend. With God, this time is spent in conversation with Him in prayer. I know time is scarce, but it's a necessary investment, and it's worth it. We also have to learn to pray, to spend that time with God in a fruitful way. I know I've said it before, and I'll say it again, but the Psalms are magnificent ways to pray. They give words to our feelings of joy and sorrow, excitement and fear, and they form our hearts to be able to bring these sentiments to God in words that He gives us Himself. Quiet time is essential too. I know that that also is at a premium for many of us, but you can probably find some time to carve out during the day just to sit quietly and think of the face of Jesus. Come, if you can, to spend time in front of Him in the tabernacle or at adoration on Thursday afternoons. What is Jesus saying to you in those moments? What are you saying to Him? These are important steps along our journey in prayer. Because deepening our friendship with Him is so important. And as we do that through prayer, we find that we won't get better at praying and better at sinning at the same time. One or the other will go. So if you keep deepening your prayer life over time, maybe over a long time, you'll find that eventually sin loses its grip. And without you necessarily even noticing, you'll realize that spending time with God has become totally natural, part of your life, as essential to your being as the air you breathe. It takes a while. Be patient. God is patient and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and He loves us so much. The benefits of growing in your friendship with Jesus are nothing less than a fulfilled life here on earth, full of peace, whatever happens, and at its conclusion, eternal joy. It's worth it. The central Christian image isn't Jesus at the Last Judgment, but Jesus fulfilling His paschal mystery, becoming one of us, giving His life for us, and rising again to prepare for each of us the gift of eternity. As that mystery is made present for us on the altar once again, let's approach Him today with hearts that are ready to be converted, to commit once again to leaving sin behind, and to deepening our friendship with the One who loves us most, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.